Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the R Big Show. This is RU Fan Jerry, and this is the first show of the 2016 season, and I'm excited to be focusing on National Signing Day, which will be next week, and the Rutgers recruiting cycle is in full swing for the new coaching staff and Coach Chris Ash. And again, it's my first show talking about the new staff, and a little bit of excitement around the air for those who are following the program. Not much to talk, you know, no need to rehash and go back into the last year, but we know where we are. Totally new staff and a plan, a new plan. I think for those who've been following the program, we probably are excited to see that the coach has come in, has an idea, starting with the implementation of the power spread offense that we'll see in the future. Pretty exciting and young offensive coordinator, Drew Mehringer, and just a lot of excitement and positivity around on the program. Obviously, it's going to be a long haul and not something that's going to turn the switch immediately. But coaches are out there recruiting, busting their butt, and I'm excited to have Sean Brown from Rivals come on again, a friend of the show, and kind of give us a recap, as these guys have been just tearing it up themselves following the frenetic pace of where the coaches' staff have been throwing offers out there and visiting and hosting recruits. So an exciting time for Rutgers, and as they try to get off to a good start. And as I said, it's definitely is late in the game and a difficult task that they have at hand in terms of the 2016 class. But this is also an opportunity to lay the framework and the foundation for the next class and some of the recruiting that takes place immediately after National Signing Day, where they start to focus on juniors. It's a famous favorite of mine that phrase where I like to say about college football in general that it's a year-round process. So, you go through the season, and if you think of from a calendar year, the beginning of the year is closing out the recruiting cycle. And that's, the beginning of February, and then they start immediately hosting the juniors and the future class. And before you know it, spring football is out and about. And I think today, actually, they already announced the game time and of the spring game. I think there'll be a lot of excitement around that. And then you head into, summer and summer practice, and next thing you know, it's summer camp. So we're not obviously wishing time away, but it's a year-round sport with college football, and I like to be part of this process too, and covering, and there's been a lot of good coverage out there about Rutgers. Obviously, it's a little bit of a honeymoon process right now, so the coaching staff is getting good positive reviews, and it's something that they need, and you hope that it will resonate on down to the team and eventually start to see some of those results on the football field. But without further ado, I want to welcome Sean to the show. Sean, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, Jerry? Happy New Year.
Good. Happy New Year to you, too. I've taken some time off, and exciting time to get back. I know for you guys that cover the team and cover the recruiting process, this is a very busy time of the year, so I appreciate you coming on. And obviously, with what is going on with the new staff and lots of new offers that have been thrown out, and you guys have been on top of it and all over the place over at ScholarNation.com. So I appreciate you taking the time out tonight.
No problem. Thank you for having me again. Always a pleasure.
Now, before we begin, I want to throw out the number for anyone that's listening and wants to call in and have some questions for Sean. 914-338-1694. Definitely give us a call, or you can tweet me some questions at RUFanJerry, and I'll try to get them answered. So let's start off the conversation. I think one of the more interesting aspects right away was coach coming in and kind of, you know, the much talked about offense that Rutgers was running, the pro style and difficulties of kind of being in the Big Ten and running that offense because, you know, there's some big boys out in this, especially in this division that Rutgers is in when you're dealing with Ohio State and Michigan State and Penn State. And you know, it was kind of a difficult thing. It worked in the Big East, but, you know, not really something that, you know, you'll be watching around the country, pro style offenses, unless you have, you know, an Alabama type of offensive line and quarterbacks. And it's not something that you could easily do. And I think we're kind of excited to see this power spread, but you know what, the first part about it is always the quarterback. And, you know, Rutgers got the quarterback potentially of the future today. So give us a little bit more insight on that.
Well, the guy you mentioned, obviously, Tylan Oden from Tennessee, was previously committed to Louisville. And, you know, Louisville took another quarterback in this cycle. I think Juwan Pass, who was, you know, an all-everything type of guy. But they also had a quarterback, Lamar Jackson, as a true freshman who really lit it up and is their guy of the future there. So, you know, Oden definitely, you know, made a business decision, you know, wanted to go somewhere where the depth chart wasn't as populated. And, you know, he opened the process back up. Even before he decommitted, he started looking at some other schools. You know, Ohio State had him as the B option because they didn't get Dwayne Haskins, but obviously they did. But, you know, things happened quickly with Rutgers, you know, with a new staff taking over and, you know, identifying their guy and, you know, getting him committed before he even saw the campus. But he's a dual threat guy. He fits the system, you know, really thin right now. He's maybe about 180, 175. So he's going to need, I would think, a redshirt year just to get acclimated to the college game in terms of strength. But, you know, can make all the throws, has a great size at 6'5", but also, you know, runs extremely well. And he's, you know, I think the prototype type of guy that, you know, Rutgers is going to have in this offense going forward.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, Drew Merringer, kind of the offensive coordinator, talked about, you know, coming over from Houston and, of course, having the background, you know, learning kind of the Ohio State type of offense and this power spread. You know, obviously he was going to be an athlete. It was, you know, someone that's going to be a dual threat, like you mentioned, but also a smart, you know, you want someone that's a smart kid that can handle this type of offense. And you look at some of the offers that Oden had, you know, Vanderbilt and some, you know, good schools that he's obviously, you know, not just an athlete, but seems like someone is going to have it also up there, upstairs as well.
No, definitely. Like you said, you know, in this offense, you know, there are plays where you may have to make three reads sometimes where you have to dive to the running back. You could either give it to him or you could keep it, but in the same play, you could also, you know, pass it as well. So, and be able to make these decisions quickly. So you need someone that has the intellect to be able to do that. So as you mentioned, the academic prowess is there on top of the athletic prowess with Oden's commitment.
Now with the quarterback, it's obviously the centerpiece position, and you know, you're changing your offense, and you see it whether it's the pro game, you see in college how sophisticated offenses have become over the years. So, you know, your quarterback is always has been, and but even more so now, the most important position. And it seemed like Coach Ash and the staff moved very quickly. I mean, obviously. You know, Rutgers had Anthony Russo, who already committed, but was more of a pro-style guy. It seems like it was more of a mutual decision for both Russo and Rutgers to go in different directions. But, you know, they very quickly got offers out and national guys. I mean, obviously, you know, Oden's from Tennessee, but they were looking at Tyrell Pigrum from Alabama, Lindsey Scott
right.
from Louisiana. And you know, obviously, you know, as a fan, I'll admit, I didn't know of these guys before, you know, hearing about them, you know, evaluating those three, you know, where did Oden fall in? And, you know, you think the staff, you know, was kind of taking an approach, whichever one of those three committed first was going to be their guy. But, you know, obviously, you know, it seemed like Oden was potentially the top target.
I mean, definitely. They, you know, they offered all three guys in, you know, almost consecutive days. And then they, you know, they got Lindsey Scott on campus this weekend. He was able to, you know, get in, you know, after this huge storm in the East and go see Maryland on the weekend. They come up to Rutgers for a couple of days. And, you know, then Rutgers was going to have Odin up here. And it was funny with the whole weather. A lot of these guys were supposed to visit earlier, but Rutgers had to make some plans and tweak some things to make sure guys didn't get stranded. You know, they seem to have pulled their attention away from Pigrome, who also, you know, was, you know, garnering a lot of attention from Maryland and also Virginia Tech and other schools as well. And they really focused on Scott and Odin, but it seemed, you know, quickly once, you know, Coach Drew did his in-homes with all those guys, that Odin was the guy that seemed to have the, you know, the best mutual fit, you know, to work out and to have this marriage that we see now.
Now, you mentioned that Scott was here this past weekend. Now, Odin has not visited campus yet, as far as I understand, but will be coming this weekend. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
So now, as they close out, you know, obviously, you know, not much left in this period. You know, it's got to be a huge relief for them to head into this final weekend where they're still pitching to other guys, knowing that the quarterback is in place.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's, you know, quarterback recruiting in general moves quickly. I mean, in regards to Russo, you know, although he doesn't seem like the ideal fit for this new offense, you know, the Rutgers staff was recruiting him hard. They wanted to keep him, you know, so, it, you know, it's not like they told him to shoo, but, you know, in hindsight, you know, Anthony wouldn't be able to unleash, I think, the full potential offense, you know, in terms of the running game. It's not that he's not a bad athlete, but he wants to be a guy that's, you know, dropping back and throwing the football, but not taking off per se. But then you have, you know, the guys they targeted who will do all that and can give the full range of the offense.
Right. I mean, and I think the exact quote was from Maringer's that, you know, I want someone that's competitive, intelligent. And you know, he wasn't necessarily locking down to a particular skill set. I mean, obviously, it is going to be a power spread, so you're going to be running the ball more. But, you know, I seem to like, you know, what you read in a lot of the articles that you know, these guys, the new staff, whether it's on the offensive side or on the defensive side, are talking about how, you know, they plan to utilize players in their best capacities and get the best out of players, not necessarily, you know, trying to fit them to a particular role or you know, a type of defense or a type of offense necessarily.
I mean, that's what they have to do now. You know, more so on the offensive side. On defense, they'll still be a 4-3 team, but I can see some tweaks. You know, maybe the R defensive end will become more of a traditional, you know, guy in a 3-point stance like the E defensive end. But they'll still be a 4-3 team, so I don't think there's going to be too much of a change philosophy-wise. But, you know, offensively, like you're mentioning, it's going to be a whole new system. You know, so it's definitely going to be different. I think they're going to have to take their time until they can, you know, have enough years to, you know, get more of the guys they want. But in the time being, like you said, you can't fit, you know, a round peg into a square spot. You're going to have to, you know, work what you have, you know, to be productive. So.
Now, obviously, way too early to go into the quarterbacking, you know, situation for next year, but you know, obviously, Rutgers still has. Hey, I mean, that's what we're here for, right? Just to talk and bring up the possibilities. But I mean, obviously, you know, you still have spring camp. Odin's not going to be an early entry, so you know, he won't be on campus until the summer. So you still have two quarterbacks that are you know, possibly, you know, three or four. But the incumbent starter Chris Laviano will be back. At least, you know, these guys are definitely here for the spring. Hayden Redding and you know, Coach Ash kind of made a, you know, clear that you know, he's evaluating the team, you know, from his perspective, and there's no starters going into camp, so there's going to be a battle again between those two, and then again, you know, where we'll see how Odin stacks when he comes in, and you know, obviously there's other guys still on the roster too, so It'd be interesting to see. I think, you mentioned, the one thing about Odin's physical nature, that, a light guy, so he obviously needs to put on some weight. So, there is still the possibility of the red shirt. I'm actually a big fan of red shirt and a lot of these guys coming up. But, how do you think, what is your thoughts about the quarterback battle going into the spring and then again in the summer?
You know, it's gonna be interesting to see. Like you said, you have guys. Laviano is, he's not a bad athlete, and not necessarily they don't have to have a guy that is running the ball 25 times a game to be effective. I mean, like I said, the best version of this offense, though, I've had guys that can be that versatile. But you still need a guy that can, make plays in the passing game here. You'll probably see a lot more of, the quick screens and things of that nature, and the throws won't be as difficult all the time. So, it may make it easier. A lot of guys like Reddick, played in, not the same spread, but did play in a spread type offense, working out shotgun when he was in high school. A lot of the fans always point to G.R. Rossino because he was the guy that was a dual threat in high school. So I know he's probably excited and licking his chops because, if he's hearing it's going to be even playing field, it's going to be a system that fits him the best. So I'm sure he's gotten a boost of confidence with this coaching change.
That's a good point. I've had your site mate or your buddy also, Bobby Darin, on the show a few times. Scott Hellman also from the Scout. And one of the things they talk about when they speak about Redding is that, there was always this talk about him not having the same grasp of the offense. But, sometimes and I know Bobby was strong about this, that, part of the job of a coach is perhaps not dumb down the playbook, but make things a little bit easier. And you kind of mentioned that, swinging out, the quick passes, the quick hitches. You got guys like Janarian Grant that can, get in space and utilize it. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how the offense plays out in that spring battle between, the four guys. There's still Michael Dare and as you mentioned, that they're all coming in with a clean slate.
Yeah, Mike may have, outside of Reddit, the best arm talent of the group. So it's going to be, and I know he's put some good weight on. He played basketball in high school. He was a receiver before he ended up moving to quarterback from Elmwood Park. No one's going to say he's a 4-3 guy. But he's not, he's not a bad athlete either. He's more of a pro style guy, but it'll be interesting to see him out there. They'll all be at the same level playing field with this playbook now. It's really interesting to see how this battle's going to play out in the spring and then into the summer.
Well, obviously Odin's the big news, as I mentioned, is the quarterback, so it is the high profile position. But Scarlet Knights also received another commitment today, and Tyreek Williams, a linebacker out of Tim Creighton. And this happened, I guess, within the last hour that the news came out. Three-star linebacker, obviously linebacker is a position of need, where basically three new starters coming in this season. And from the recruiting wise, a position that they needed to bring in. So it's going to be heated. And, I know you've seen him play. So what are your thoughts about Williams?
He's a guy that he's someone that has sacrificed for the team. He plays mainly defensive end, playing with his hand in the dirt. But he's always projected to be a linebacker at the next level. I think that, did hurt his recruitment a bit because school didn't really see him, playing in space as much. But, great-looking kid, one of the best-looking kids physically in New Jersey in this class. He's running the 10-8, 10-9 range in the 100 meters. High academic kid, high character that I believe had offers from both the Naval Academy and West Point as well. A good kid, and, it gives, Rutgers another in at a power school in the state in Timber Creek, which is always producing a top guy. They have a commitment for 2017 already. The first guy, Najee Jones, a corner. A lot of people I talked to in the state felt Williams was underrated, and he was a guy the previous staff was not as high on. You know, they had other linebackers that obviously offered and took commitments from, but when, you know, Coach Ash got on board, you know, he was adamant about really, you know, fencing the garden and really recruiting New Jersey, and he went back through the whole recruiting board, you know, and my understanding is that, you know, they really, you know, graded Williams out high, and, you know, he went to see him, you know, had a really good feeling about him. Then defensive coordinator Neiman went down there and, you know, had the same feeling. And they had six coaches down at Timber Creek earlier this week, you know, so they made him a priority. They offered him. He was committed to Buffalo originally. But he had told me in the past he was really open and wanted the opportunity to play at Rutgers. You know, he's close with Miles Nash. Miles actually played the same position as Tariq when he was at Timber Creek. So it was, you know, a match made heaven and a dream for him to get the opportunity to come play at Rutgers.
Now, you brought up a great point when you mentioned Timber Creek, and Rutgers actually, you know, just within this week also got two other commitments, both from high-profile parochial schools. K.J. Gray from St. Peter's Prep, kind of listed as an athlete, and then Cora Badrizi, who's a tight end, and I know the tight end position is something that there is some talk about this H-back type role that you know, we see in Ohio State and we've seen at different programs within the spread. So that may become more of a prolific position in this offense. But he's from Bergen Catholic. So what are your thoughts on those two players as well?
I mean, KJ is a guy, you know, he's someone that I was really blown away with in a lot of the, you know, the camp season. He just, as a receiver, you know, plays with great body control, has some of the biggest hands I've seen, real long arms, and, you know, just great body control, bait ball skills. But Rutgers likes him actually as a cornerback, and he camped this summer with the old staff at corner. He did extremely well. It was the same day, I believe, Isaiah Wright was there, and they had some memorable battles going head-to-head. But, you know, they chose, you know, although they had offered him, you know, they didn't feel as high on him. Spots were kind of dwindling at that point. He went to Boston College, but it's another guy that when Ash got the job, went back through the recruiting board and said, hey, you know, I want this guy. You know, they got him quickly. You know, they a lot of visits as soon as they could visit him. And KJ's big thing was he wanted to, you know, feel like a priority to whatever school, and Rutgers made it known, you know, this is a new era, and we want you to be one of the leaders in the state to come in. You know, so he'll play corner for them. I think he could also project as a safety prospect as well, or a receiver. So he does give them position flexibility. And then you got another guy on Korab, who you mentioned, you know, under-recruited guy at Bergen Catholic. He had a Temple offer early. I know Northwestern flirted around with him. He had, you know, over 10 or 15 FCS offers and was probably going to go to James Madison before the new staff took over. Same situation. You know, Korab was another guy. He did extremely well at tight end when I saw him at Rutgers camp this summer. But at that point, Giovanni Haskins was still available. This year, Upshur was still available. They only wanted one guy in the class. So they really, you know, narrowed their attention on those guys. But they didn't get them. You know, new staff came in, reevaluated, and Korab was, you know, fit the H-back role, catches everything around him. He's a guy that was hurt, too, by exposure. Bergen Catholic, Garantano went out his junior year, so he only had four catches, I believe. They went to strictly a running game for most of the season, so the tape wasn't there. But he'll get dirty, he'll block you. You know, hardworking kid who, you know, can also make some plays in the passing game, move the chains for you.
Right, and that's also, you know, as I mentioned, you know, Timber Creek, you know, St. Peter's, you know, Bergen Catholic, and you know, what's significant about that is, you know, this is a staff that's obviously coming in. They're you know, coming in, you know, hitting the ground running. But, you know, there was a lot of talk that these are guys that are not Jersey guys. You know, I happen to be one in the camp that I kind of agree with, you know, Coach Ash, where you bring the guys that you work well with. And you know, football guys are football guys, and they know what they're doing. They're going to track the they're going to demand the attention of you know, coaches and players. And I think the most important thing is winning. So if you win, it doesn't really matter where you come from. So I think, you know, that's really more important, is putting together a good staff. But nevertheless, you know, they don't have the connections in New Jersey, but you know, now you're coming out there right away and you're making some connections by, you know, obviously when they recruit these kids, they're going to talk to their coaches, and they're out there already at these schools early, which, you know, has to help, you know, when they come back around in February and start talking to, you know, to them about the juniors and sophomores for the next recruiting cycle.
No, especially Korab. He's a guy that when news, I remember, you know, on Twitter, when news, you know, came about with him committing and even, you know, taking an official visit to Rutgers, you know, I don't remember too many other of the guys I followed this year that got as many retweets and likes on there. So he's someone that is highly respected in his community, highly respected at Bergen Catholic. You know, he's a guy that, I mean, it's just been difficult for Rutgers to recruit there. But between having Simmons, you know, who's kind of cut from the same cloth, and then Korab now, you know, it will make things a little bit easier. Not saying they'll, you know, it's going to open the floodgates of Bergen Catholic, but it does help to have multiple guys, you know, at Rutgers saying, hey, you know what, it's a good school. You guys should really consider it. And they got some studs coming up the pipeline, so it's only going to help.
Yeah, definitely. So kind of looking at this current class that they have, I think it's what, like 15 or 16 guys in there, you know, definitely – you know, we mentioned Williams today, linebacker. They last, I guess it was almost or maybe 2 weeks ago already. I hope I don't mispronounce the name, but Alarm Lamore, also a linebacker. Salma Manning, who's from my old town, Colonia. I think he's an early entry, so he's already on campus. Rashawn Battle, and of course, you know, Jonathan Pollock, who's been, you know, kind of a pro Rutgers guy and committed since way back in October. But that's five linebackers that they're bringing in. So I'm really, you know, going deep at that position there.
Well, they could. They also, you know, they're heavily recruiting Dele Harding from Eastern Christian in Maryland, who was just on campus last Thursday and Friday. He got out before the storm hit. That's another guy. He's probably like a true Mike linebacker that, you know, once the staff got the job, Dele was committed to Michigan before the coaching change in Harbaugh, and they kind of parted ways. But it's another guy they really said, hey, we're lacking depth at linebacker. We're going to go after you. You know, the visit went extremely well. He's going to go to Illinois this weekend, but there's a good chance he also ends up with a Scarlet Knight. So you're talking, you know, six possible backers in the class. But there's guys, you know, I look at Rashawn Battle, who was more of like a, I think at Wallen-Pohlpack, they were a 3-4 defense. So he played almost like a stand-up defensive end at times. And he's the biggest guy of the group. So I could see him possibly sliding down to the line, and he seems open to it from, you know, my conversations with him in the past. And even a guy like Lunor from Piscataway, who he was a defensive end in high school before he went to Milford and started playing in space and playing linebacker. So he's a guy, too, that can project at a couple of different positions. But they're going to, you know, bring in a lot of guys because they're lacking depth, and, you know, the best guys will play.
Right, and both of those guys are listed as 6'3". I think Battle is already at 225, so, you know, not
exactly. Yeah, I think he's more than that. He's a big boy. He's a big boy.
And so, you know, you definitely, you know, have flexibility at, you know, when you see, you know, players coming in, obviously they're not locked into the positions that they're going. Now, you know, offensive line, obviously, again, you know, you're in the Big Ten, so, you know, I think right now they have three committed in this group with Nick Crimmon, Elijah Johnson, I guess actually really just two at this point. So are they looking to close out with a few more at on the offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, well, this weekend they'll have Mike Lonsdorf from Immaculata. He was previously committed to UConn. He's another guy that camped at Rutgers this summer. Bobby and I both saw him. We both thought he did pretty well, but for the old staff, they seem to be targeting more guys that were bigger, and then, you know, they may cut the weight down and build them back up. Lonsdorfer is around like 265, 275, so thin but tall guy. You know, so I don't think he fit the previous staff, but it's another guy new staff comes in, A.J. Blazek, O-line coach, gets on immediately, offers him a scholarship, and he just decommitted from UConn this past weekend. And I think, you know, he was going to officially visit this past weekend until the snowstorm hit. So I think if that wouldn't have happened, he probably would have flipped to Rutgers already, in my opinion. So I think, you know, he'll come on a visit this weekend. If all goes well, he ends up as a Scarlet Knight. The biggest development is Eric Swinson from Illinois, who is a Rivals 250 offensive lineman. There was a whole national story, a little bit of he said, she said with Michigan, and, you know, Swinson and his side saying he got dropped, and the Michigan side through sources saying, you know, they basically said, you know, they were going to part ways with the kid in advance. But what's done is done nonetheless. But now he's on the market, and, you know, Rutgers saw this, and they got out there quickly. Actually, a coach was out there on Tuesday to see him in person. So they're fighting one of those last official visits from him right now. Or he has visits available. He may extend the process past signing day because this all happened in a matter of 2 weeks or so. But Rutgers is, you know, giving him an offer and made it known they want him. So I wouldn't be shocked if he ended up on campus this coming weekend. And then, you know, they have other offers out. Brandon Walton from Florida is a guy committed to Florida Atlantic who's been very quiet. But someone the staff is looking at as a possibility in this class as well.
So, guys, so give me a little bit of a walk through the process. You have this dead period that takes place where I guess coaches can reach out to recruits. You know, I guess that kind of like after the holidays lifts up. And then you have this like official or when school starts, I guess that kind of lifts. And you have this 2 weekends of visits, official visits that the players get. Now, each player gets up to, what is it, 5 official visits?
Yep, correct. They get 5 official paid visits.
So now, if you can, you know, not to go through all of them, but, you know, like listing in terms of like who are the guys that are coming in this weekend that may be committed or not committed.
All right. So off the top of my head, they'll have the two you know, Mo Jabby was with the group last week, you know, so he's committed to Rutgers. He had a good visit. He's not doing any media now, but a visit went well. So they'll have Mo. Mo was there last week. They're going to have the two other committed receivers, Taysir Mack of New York City, who he actually just got an offer from Penn State last week. And there was some, you know, some rumors that he was going to visit Penn State this weekend, but that's not the case. Taysir just told me today that he'll be at Rutgers this weekend. You know, the coaches have been on him and made it known they really want him. So I think he's excited to spend some more time with these guys. Isaiah Wright from Connecticut is going to be around next weekend. And he's a guy that, you know, with you know, E.J. Barthel has been rumored to be working with Temple now, and Temple's going after Wright. And Anthony Campanile, who, you know, was one of his main recruiters when he was at Rutgers as a receivers coach, is now at Boston College. So, you know, they hosted Wright last weekend. So those two were, you know, trying to flip him. But it was noted by Todrick Hunt tonight that the Rutgers coaches were actually at Wright's house tonight. So he'll be on campus next weekend. And that's another guy. Both Mack and Wright, they played in high school offenses that are similar to what Rutgers is doing now with this power spread. So I know they're both excited about this wide-open offense, getting the ball in space, and they both excel at making plays in space, you know, making people miss on jailbreak screens and things of that nature. Quayshon Alexander is another big one, the brother of Kai Hester, current Rutgers safety. And Quay is committed to Nebraska from DePaul Catholic as well, but he's, you know, taking official visits to Pitt, to Indiana, to Michigan, Nebraska, and then his last one will be to Rutgers. And it was kind of, you know, wishy-washy whether or not he was going to make it, but he told me yesterday he's locked in. You know, new defensive line coach Shane Burnham has made him a priority, definitely. And, you know, Quay's another guy. You know, you can never have enough really good defensive linemen, especially in the Big Ten. And Quay's definitely a three-down guy. He can make plays in a run game, but also can get after the passer. You know, so he's a guy that they, you know, they want to keep home. And there was a good chance Rutgers was going to get him with the old staff until they had a falling out. So he's definitely one guy to watch for this weekend. And then you got a lot of the commitments, like Damon Hayes, who got offers from Wake Forest and Boston College, but he's been solid in his commitment. Rutgers got a big help with the snowstorm in Maryland, because he couldn't get to Wake Forest last weekend. He's not going to reschedule that. So he is going to be at Rutgers this weekend, and he's all but committed to Rutgers. This is just the icing on the cake at this point. Another new guy that we've just started talking about recently is Tyree Rogers from Camden Catholic in South Jersey. And he's another one of those guys the old staff looked at, they weren't in love with, they didn't offer. He was committed to Old Dominion for a long time. New staff comes in, and I'm told that cornerback coach Aaron Henry loved Rogers, you know, thought he could be a special prospect, and Rutgers offered him. So Virginia Tech saw this, and they had been keeping tabs on him for a while, and that was their trigger to jump in. So Virginia Tech offered him as well, and they were actually able to secure an official visit starting tonight until Friday. So he's down in Virginia Tech for 2 days, and then he's coming to Rutgers this weekend for an official. So it's going to be tough down to the wire. It's probably going to be one of those two schools, but I do know Rogers would like to stay close to home, you know, and Rutgers has, you know, this new staff has done a really good job on him in a short period of time. So that's definitely, you know, one to watch as well. And then, you know, you have some other guys in the group, obviously Tyler Odin, the quarterback commit will be here as well, is a big one. And then there's probably some other names that haven't come up yet. Dakovan Bailey's another guy we just discovered this week. He's from Texas. He plays receiver. He doesn't have an offer yet, but he's a guy to watch as a possible offeree. Rashawn Battle, the linebacker, defensive lineman possibly mentioned as well, is going to be on campus next weekend also. Or this weekend.
And then, another guy I know that, you know, we're talking about schools that have been pumping out players. You kind of threw out a tidbit earlier today that Rutgers also visited Ulysses De Los Santos of Union City.
Yes.
And Union City, you talk about Union City, gets a lot of people riled up because obviously quite a few have headed over to, you know, that school out in Pennsylvania of late. So, but, you know, maybe perhaps there's another opportunity to get in there with another coaching staff and, you know, start the process on that end as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, De Los Santos, he didn't have the same type of recruitment that a Steve Gonzalez had. He was, you know, projected to be that guy in his class, but things didn't shake out for him in that way. So he really has had a quiet recruitment. You know, he had saw himself as more of a defensive lineman. And I know Kyle Flood and those guys said, hey, we like you have offensive guard. And, you know, I don't think he was too high on that. You know, eventually he camped at Rutgers this summer. Didn't have his greatest day, so the staff really kept tabs on him but didn't move on him. But new staff, once again, went back, looked at the tape. You know, I was told today that Coach Bush, who is, you know, seemed to be recruiting North Jersey in that area, and Coach Burnham, the D-line coach, went to Union City, you know, went to just physically see the kid and meet the kid, and that, you know, there'll be a follow-up with Coach Ash this possible towards the end of the week, I want to say. So I don't know if he'll be a visitor this weekend. It's a possibility. But with the need for linemen on both sides of the football, you know, he can be a guy that, you know, you would watch out for. And the Union City guys have generally done well when they've gotten to college. So, you know, it's another program that, you know, it's good to have one of those guys in your program that typically tough, just gritty guys. I played against Union Hill when it was two schools in high school, and that was probably one of the most physical games I was in. And so it's still the same way in Hudson County, still really physical football. And De Los Santos is the epitome of that.
Now, you know, you've, you know, I know Bobby's, you know, had a lot of the day-to-day work, and I don't know how much interaction you've had with this coaching staff, but, you know, there's been a lot of talk, at least, you know, perception-wise of this staff, you know, getting out there on Twitter and, you know, and just being active and high-energy guys. You know, what's been your impression of you know, not just Coach Ash, but, you know, his assistants and, you know, running around the state and the country really in a short period of time?
I mean, it's like you said, you know, for the most part, the younger guys are hip with Twitter, you know, and, you know, they're active and they're visible. You know, little things, a perfect example, you know, I remember on our message board there was a whole tizzy a couple of weeks ago because Coach Burnham had tweeted a picture of the Undertaker and, you know, had some hashtags And for the average person, you know, like, you know, what the hell is this coach tweeting? But it's what we call a subtweet, when he cannot, you know, you can't mention a recruit's name so they sign. And the recruit that was directed towards was Quayshawn Alexander, who was a huge WWE fan, and his favorite wrestler is The Undertaker. So I know Quayshawn saw, and he was probably up in arms, and now Rutgers has him coming for an official visit. You know, so it's the little things like that that let recruits know, you know, I can't say your name, but I'm thinking about you, you know. So, you know, they're definitely a savvy group. You know, I've seen them interacting with the fans on Twitter, and, you know, it's getting people excited. And it's important, I think, nowadays, and, you know, to be, you know, in tune with what's going on with social media and the fads and things of that nature. So you have a large part of that staff. You had Jafar Williams in there as well, who's in his early 30s, that just knows how to play the game, knows how to tweet appropriately and what to tweet and to get people excited.
Now, you mentioned Jafar Williams, who's coming in as the running back coach. You know, one guy that we haven't talked about in this class is the one running back, Trey Snead, a Florida guy. You know, I've seen his film, and he kind of impresses me. He's got a nice build. He's 5'10", you know, 200 pounds. He's been committed since April. You know, I always get a little worried, though, you know, with the Florida guys. You know, how's his commitment? Is it still, you know, pretty solid? And, you know, what do you think about him as a player?
Well, Trey is on campus already. He was an early enrollee as well. You know, he's another guy
good.
Yeah, so, you know, he's a guy that didn't waver, you know, with the coaching change. He, you know, they loved the school. Him and his family loved the school and what it was about. And, you know, those are the guys that understand that, you know, college is more than just the football program. And as a running back, you know, there's not too much. Unless you're a guy going to, you know, Washington State where they're not really running the ball, that's different. But, you know, this offense, you look at Ohio State, you look at a guy like Ezekiel Elliott, you can get a lot of carries in this offense. I think Snead is a great fit for this offense. I think he's a guy that is ideal for the zone, that can, you know, run and see the hole and put his foot in the ground and make a cut as he needs to, and has great vision as well. So, you know, he definitely clicked quickly with the staff. You know, Ash, as soon as he got the job, he was able to get on the road. He went to see the early enrollees, you know, and, you know, he made Snead and his family comfortable. So he's on campus now. So, you know, and there's not a need for him to play early. Obviously, a lot of depth at running back, but just another good back in the stable that Rutgers will have.
So besides, so obviously there's Snead, there's Manning. Who are the other early enrollees?
We have Snead, Manning, Pollock, and then Luminor from Piscataway. Those are the four early enrollees in this class.
Now, in terms of wide receiver, you know, we talked about obviously, you know, Jabby's coming in, you know, Taysier Mack. Are there any other targets that are out there at the wide receiver position?
Well, I mean, you have Wright still committed. The Bailey kid I mentioned from Texas that is supposed to be officially visiting this weekend is considered a wide receiver, but he also plays other positions. You know, Rutgers made a really hard push for Kelman Harmon, who is, you know, back on the market, but it was trending in Rutgers' direction for a little bit, and, you know, now it seems to be trending away. You know, he got a Miami offer and visited there officially this past weekend, and it went well. He's, you know, he hasn't decided if he's going to visit anywhere this weekend, but if he does, it will likely be Indiana. An interesting thing to look at here, too, is Harmon is very close with the recent offeree, Tyree Rogers from South Jersey, the cornerback recruit. So I thought that would have more of an effect on Harmon and his interest in Rutgers, but it really doesn't seem to have, you know, affected him. And I know with Kelvin, you know, he really likes Coach Ash, you know, but I think it was just not enough time, you know, from when he was hired going against some of these staff that have been recruiting him for a while. Miami's a new one, but also I'm sure he saw the forecast and all the snow we had in New Jersey, looked mm-hmm. south of the beach, said, you know what, I'll take a free trip to Miami, why not? So it's not really trending well for Harmon right now, but you can't say Ash and Kerr and those guys didn't give their best shot.
Obviously, you got next week, then there's this weekend, and then there's National Signing Day, and then it quickly turns into going hard after the 2017 class, right? So you talk a little bit about how quickly that turnaround process is, when they have the junior days, and how important it is for Rutgers, really, for their staff to get off to a good start and make an impression with those guys.
Well, they've started, the first couple of weeks when the staff was in place, they, obviously were trying to maintain what was left of the 2016 class and then find guys to fill the gaps. So they didn't really pay too much attention to younger guys. But this past weekend, when guys were snowed in, it seemed like they contacted every local 2017 guy. And, I've learned, and I posted a couple of weeks ago, the roundtable, they're going to have a junior day on February 13th. So that's the weekend right after signing day, or the weekend after that. So a lot of the top guys in the state have already confirmed that they're coming. Fred Hansard from Hunt School, top defensive tackle, Bo Melton, who's a Rutgers legacy. Both his parents played sports at Rutgers, from Cedar Creek. He'll be up there. And then even a guy like Micah Clark, who is the top offensive lineman in New Jersey for 2017. He's a guy that wasn't really considering Rutgers when the old staff was there. He didn't really come to campus. New staff, he's like, I'll be there. I'm excited to meet these new guys. So they're bringing some new energy back in, and they're working quickly too, because in past years, I don't remember them, Rutgers, getting this many juniors on campus this soon after signing day. I mean, maybe Ash and those guys feel like they're behind the eight ball a little bit, but nonetheless, it's good to just get right there and say, hey, we're ready to get to work on you guys. We want you guys to be that first great class that we recruited at Rutgers. So they're going to work hard starting on the 13th.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, this obviously is that, remind you of the famous, Shiano story of where he got everybody in the room. And I think, not going to be the same thing, but I think you're definitely going to see the hard push of Ash and the staff grabbing those guys and say, hey, this, you guys are going to be the group. You're the ones that you stay home. This is going to be the turnaround group that's the impetus for starting the program in the right direction. So, it's amazing how quickly it moves, but you'll be right on to the next cycle and the next class. Now, of course, it is what it is, and there's speculation. So, of course, I got to ask you the questions that you probably can't answer anyway. But, we've talked about all these guys, the guys that are coming, and, do you expect any surprises over this next week and a half, or anything that maybe you're holding on to that you can't talk about that, is possible that may take place and Rutgers fans will be pretty excited about?
I'm not going to say like Rashawn Gary's coming or anything like that, but right. Just even last weekend, some guys that we had been following, but didn't know what was happening to were confirmed to show up on campus, so I expect some names that, Rutgers fans aren't familiar with to show up on campus this weekend for official visits without a doubt. There's nothing set in stone, but I would just – it's that time, the staff is really scrambling to, expect the unexpected. And then two names I forgot to mention before for this weekend, I apologize. Elijah Johnson, offensive lineman, who's committed from DeMatha. He's been very quiet, but he did officially visit Boston College, and he also visited Temple. But he's, saving his last visit for Rutgers, and everyone he knew – when he was first offered by Rutgers is gone. So I think that's, something to watch. But, the family really likes the school. And DeMatha is a good school to get an offensive lineman from anywhere in the country. So I think he's a guy they would want to keep. And then the Michigan grad transfer, Ross Taylor Douglas, who was recruited by Chris Ash when he was at Wisconsin. So those two have a close bond. It's a guy who has 2 years to play, and another position flexible guy who played receiver, running back, and corner at Michigan, knows the Big Ten East. So he's a guy that can be valuable in multiple ways for Rutgers if they're able to get him to, transfer in.
Good. So, you guys have been doing a tremendous job keeping on top of this. And, you know, has it been a lot of work, you know, especially, you know, following some of these out-of-state guys that you probably yourself are not really familiar with, you know, chasing after to some of these names that were new? How was it, you know, getting into the thick of some of these new names that came across over the last couple of weeks?
Oh, it's been crazy. Not going to lie. I mean, typically, you know, when a class is set and signing day, you know, coaches are not making as many in-home visits. They're really, you know, going to see their commits, and maybe if there are a few spots available, going to see guys, but nowhere near the type of scramble that Rutgers has had to go through this past couple weeks. And, you know, you see these coaches, they're going to the places they're familiar, where they've recruited. It seemed like the strategy has been, we're going to hit New Jersey hard, we're going to revisit, you know, what Rutgers had done in the past, look at some of the guys that recruited, you know, who could fit, and make that a priority. But then they're also going to go out and go after guys that they may have recruited at past places. Like Burnham was able to get Iowa State commit Jamal Johnson on campus last weekend, and that's the guy he got committed when he was at Iowa State, and now he's on the verge of flipping to Rutgers at defensive tackle. So they, you know, in such a short period of time, it's hard to build new relationships, so you got to go after guys you think you may be able to get, you know, and recruit wisely at that point in time.
Great. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on the show. It's always a pleasure. I, you know, when it's all said and done, I want to get you back in here to recap, you know, the final signings. And I think today was a good day. You know, it was two, you know, commitments. You know, as I mentioned, the headline, you know, QB, and you know, the guy that's obviously kind of earmarked for this new offense that we're going to see. And I think a sigh of relief for probably a lot of fans and the staff itself to get that over with. And now, and you know, I took, you know, look at his film, and he looks like an exciting player. So, you know, I think it's, you probably, you know, got a feeling better, but it seems like there's a refreshing, you know, feeling of hope and excitement around the program right now.
I mean, you know, that's what it sounds like. Even speaking to a lot of the high school coaches in the area who have gotten a chance to interact with Ash or the guys, you know, they so far so good. You know, good impressions that the Rutgers staff has made locally on the coaches in the area. You know, I will say a guy like Jafar Williams helps because he has recruited in New Jersey when he was at Purdue. He's a Philly guy. You know, he has ties in South Jersey as well, so guys like Rob Hinton at Timber Creek, the head coach there, publicly supported that hiring on Twitter. You know, I was talking to Albie Crosby at Imhotep yesterday, which is the top talent producing school in Philadelphia, and, you know, he was telling me how Jafar was a guy, you know, he coached when Jafar was in high school, and, you know, Jafar was just there earlier that day. So, you know, that's at least in that region of the state and of the country, of the state of Rutgers, where Rutgers has some issues, there's a guy with some ties who's well-liked, you know. So it remains to be seen if that means they'll bring in the guys, but Rutgers was having some issues recruiting in those areas. So it definitely should help going forward. And South Jersey is loaded in 2017. So
good. Well, appreciate you you know, coming on to, you know, get some rest and continue pumping out the tidbits and news, and you know, let everybody know where they can find you and where they can follow you at.
All right, you could, obviously, scarletnation.com, our home site. Myself, you can find me on Twitter at Sean B. Rivals. That's SHAWNBRIAVLS. And then Bobby Duren, and then the General Rivals New Jersey Twitter handle as well.
Awesome. Well, Sean, appreciate you on the show, and we'll talk again in the future.
All right, sounds good, Jerry. Thank you again.
Wrapping up another one of these national signing day shows with Sean, and I appreciate him taking the time. I know it's, you know, for those who get out there and can just check out the site, it's been, you know, nonstop information. It's something that, you know, I know, you know, us that have, you know, well, you know, everyone does, has their day jobs. It's, you know, it's fun whether you're checking it on the way home, your commute in the morning, on the way back. It's kind of a fun time of the year. And again, it's some, you know, it's a new staff. there's some positivity going on, and you know, it's obviously a honeymoon period. Everybody knows that when you have a new coaching staff, but it's not that these guys though seem that they're just coming in and taking that for granted. Like, hey, you know, yeah, we're from Ohio State, and you know, we know what it is. You know, they're coming in, they're grinding, they're working hard, and I think it was a welcome kind of relief in that. You know, A, the school made the move to bring in a new staff. And then, you know, you look at kind of what Rutgers is doing versus, say, you know, Maryland, who's in a similar situation and, you know, new to the Big Ten, both in states that have talent. You know, Rutgers, you know, basically took the defensive coordinator of Ohio State. Maryland took the defensive coordinator of Michigan, and but they put together their staff in different ways. I mean, we talked about Drew Maringer, the 28-year-old guy, an offensive coordinator, you know, young guy. My wife happened to like the way he looks too. So, you know, these are a group of guys that are going to be gritty and going after and get it. And I think there's definitely a refreshness that's out there, and you know. You know, New Jersey and people are going to get it and start to appreciate it. You know, obviously, results on the field next year will count, but I think, you know, most understand that it's you know, they don't have to win right away next year. But if you see a product that is, you know, not so much the wins and losses, but, you know, not in terms of being able to field a competitive and a team that's not sloppy or you know, prepared or really put themselves in the best position. And I think potentially you have guys that have bright young minds, so it'll be interesting to see. But, you know, getting out there for that 2017 class as quickly as possible, this is the opportunity to impress those guys. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. You know, once National Signing Day is over. So look out. I'll try to get another show to recap National Signing Day and then, you know, start to talk about the recruiting cycle for the next group of kids. But this is RU Fan Jerry. Thanks for taking the time and look forward to talking to you guys in the future.